Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we relax together, as we do some guided meditation and use our breathing and our thinking and our smelling and our looking to refocus our brain energy, mind energy, or what I call thought pieces or think pieces into some new order. Oh, are you ready to relax, my friends? Are you ready to relax? I'm so excited to be with you, and I am so excited to be doing my very first guided meditation tape. That's what I'm going to be doing, is a relaxation tape with you. This is my first one, my first guided meditation tape, and as you know, I like being a guide. I'm sort of fancy myself a guide, and so I'm going to be your meditation docent and taking you on a guided tour through your own mind, which will be on in sort of neutral. So it's your own mind when the lights are off and there's nothing going on. So it's like sitting in a hotel lobby after hours. I don't know what to tell you, but it's going to relax you a little bit maybe. Say, I'm tense from the world. I need you to guide me out of it temporarily. Well, you got to be careful there, because I could guide you right into space and you can float away. We don't want that. Also, why are you screaming if it's a relaxation tape? Hardy, well, a lot of people listening right now don't want to be meditating. They're doing something else, something important, like driving a car, or they're making dinner, and they're saying, I cannot relax right now. Well, some of you then, I don't want you to tune out. Maybe what I'll do is just something startling periodically. And while it will be jarring to the meditators, for you making dinner, it'll be just what the doctor ordered. So it's funny you say that, because I am a doctor and I have incredible concentration. I can listen to very meditative music while I do very complex things and not fall asleep. In fact, I listen to Philip Glass while I perform surgery. Oh my word, how do you do that? I can't do that. When I do surgery, I need something a little, I don't know, kind of peppier, maybe. I listen to early Tyrannosaurus Rex, early Mark Bolan, before T-Rex, when they're doing those crazy, him and Steve Peregrine Took doing those woo, crazy songs that sounds like they're doing LSD with the fairies. Oh, it's wonderful. And that would get me then. I can suddenly do surgery. It's amazing. I can open you up and I can redact a date of cervical clues. I don't think you know what you're doing, Hardy. If I'm not going to let you into my bowel to resect a Mericles, why would I let you into my psyche? That's a very good question. And so I'm going to, why can I step inside while I answer it? Yes, come on in. Sorry. Once you've invited me across the threshold, I am here to stay. I am now your meditation guide. So let's get started. Everybody's eager to get started. So I want to, I'm so eager to meditate. I'm vibrating almost. I'm gritting my teeth. It's just, I feel like I've taken a lot of stimulants or something. I've had a little coffee because I didn't want to fall asleep while I meditated, because I heard in some cultures or disciplines, they'll hit you with either a ruler, or I heard some places it's actual tape, a measuring tape, the kind that retracts into the metal kind. It doesn't hurt, but it's like, why do you do? You feel your feelings get hurt. So my teacher just hit me, and that makes me sad. I don't want that. I want some kind of gold star or something. And then you look, and the monk is, in fact, putting a little gold star in the book saying, he's okay. You're okay. Now, what do I sit on? This is my first meditation class. Please be specific. Well, you have some choices which you can sit on. You mainly have three choices: a Morris chair, a Tuft, or a Zafu. Now, I don't recommend one or the other. If you can't get down on your knees like that, you're having some trouble, just stay in your Morris chair. I don't know if I have one. Well, that's an early kind of recliner. The Morris chair was an early recliner designed by, I believe, William Morris, the father of wallpaper. I call him that. I'm not sure everyone does. I don't think he invented wallpaper, just perfected it. And there's also the Tuft, which I think is very close to a Zafu. So pick either a Tuft. Say, I'm more comfortable calling it a Tuft. Okay, that's great. Whatever gets you in the mood, because we're going to do a lot of things just to get the body in the mood. So much of it is breathing. take some deep breaths first, because what we want to do is we want to get a lot of oxygen in our blood, the way that whales or free divers do when they go to very deep places in the ocean. And I learned that from both the Big Blue Planet, or whatever it's called, the documentary, and also the movie about free diving, Deep Blue, I think it's called. I get it confused with Too Much Flesh. So excuse me here while I tell you the premise of that movie, if it's shocking. No, I'm not going to speak about it. We're breathing. And I won't remind you to breathe. I think you're going to be okay. What if I forget? What if I accidentally hack into my autonomic nervous system while I'm meditating and I forget to breathe or something like that? I'm not going to let that happen to you. I'll remind you. I'll go, breathe. A lot of classes you take say, remember to breathe. I go, you know, okay. I'm not going to forget, but go on. And you breathe, and that will change. Sometimes that'll change your mood. I haven't been breathing. Maybe that's the trouble. Maybe I'm not getting enough oxygen. And then once you get oxygen, you suddenly become more alert, and the world becomes more in focus, and then you think, oh, I wasn't scared enough. The world is more shocking and horrifying now that it's clearly in focus. What was I doing? That's why I wasn't breathing. Well, let's close our eyes then and imagine we're in another place. Come in. No, that's a mystical sound. These are mystical sounds that will... The sound goes out throughout eternity. From this space, forever, into space. It doesn't at all, though. That's physically impossible. It just goes out a little bit like a ripple from me because there's not enough energy behind it. Ooh, so the noises we make don't go out into infinity, so you can say what you want really when you're alone and there's no microphones. Especially you can think what you want. I don't think anybody's going to steal your thoughts and take it into eternity. I know that's nice to think, and people tell you that, but that gets in my head, and I get, well, maybe I shouldn't think certain things, because they'll go be broadcast into the universe, and maybe some other culture is listening to them, to my thoughts, as if they are entertainment. And you go, yes, it's your own culture, Hardy, is listening to your thoughts as if they're entertainment. Isn't that ironic? That's so strange. I had a dream last night that I said something like that, and then I offhand said, well, that's pretty meta. And this entity looked at me and said, you think that's meta? This is meta. And all of a sudden, all these worlds kept unfolding in rapid succession, and each one was about the other one that came before it. And I went, wow, I better wake up. That's how I feel before I do the show a lot of times, is that there is a god or a demon or something who is showing me how empty and infinite and cold and strange and geometric the universe is, and then says, go do something heartwarming. I go, you are toying with me. You are playing with me, universe. Sometimes I feel like a broad-headed skink in North Florida, and there's a cat that is tormenting me. Just bite my head off. I know you're going to. Why are you just sitting there like that? We know what's going to unfold. Make your move. You just want me to make my move. So it's more fun for you to attack, oh universe. Well, I'm not. I'm going to sit here upon my Zafu. And I'm going to relax. I'm not going to relax. Don't worry. You're not going to relax too much. I'm not going to allow that happen. Say, Hardy, I'm afraid I'll pee myself or something. That could happen, but it only happened because you want it to. All right? Not because it's involuntary. Sometimes you are meditating and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to go. Who cares? That's because you have gained mastery over your prefrontal cortex, and that is where your inhibitions are. So I've taken control of that, and I no longer have any inhibitions. I can also improvise jazz now that I've gained control over that part of my brain. Yes, inhibitions keep you from peeing your zafu, but also from doing creative improvisation, because you're being held back by your inhibitions. Now, inhibitions are good for some things. I don't want you to say, I'm going to stand up and do my incredibly provocative naked dance now in meditation class. Is that okay, teacher? You know what? I like the space you're coming from. But here's the reason we're going to postpone that. It's an energy thing. It's an energy thing. It's like your music is good, right? All right? It's just not appropriate. For instance, you go, oh, I love Weed Eater or Buzz Oven or something. Can they be at my wedding? Probably, I don't know. See, we're going to have old folks. That's what I'm saying. And today we're going to be in touch with our inner elderly person who just wants to sit down. That's why the Morris chair is the option. I'm not going to make you sit cross-legged on the floor. We're not all contortionists. If you are a contortionist, I'd like to see you tie yourself in a sort of Celtic knot right now. And that's so neat. I saw something like that in one of those Russian circuses. Not Russian. What am I thinking of? The circuses without animals. Well, people just do the things. The ones that are popular in Bande Soleil. Ones that are popular in Vegas. And they do amazing things. I saw a lady get into a small clear box. And I thought, that is fantastic. Now get out of it. And she got out of it. I don't think she heard me. But there were people there that would have helped her had she gotten stuck. But I thought, that is really something. And I don't know that it's good for you, but that the human body can do that. So can it sit still and calm its thoughts? Now, come with me. We're going to sit on our zafu. Is there any right or wrong way to sit? Now, some will say yes. Some will say there is a right or wrong way to sit. And I say it depends so much. I mean, if you just got to sit down, we all know how to sit down, basically. So I don't know, are we talking about balance or how? Just sit down. Now, should I cross my legs or let's just get started? I'm probably not a very good guide, right? But I don't know. Just be comfortable. We're going to be sitting for a long time, so you know your body. So just shift and whatever, you know. We're going to try to focus our thoughts, but if it doesn't happen, we're not going to beat ourselves up about it. So this is just an attempt at meditation. And again, there's a lot of breathing involved. Like I said, take one large breath at the beginning, and then I breathe again at the end. But I'm speaking. That's because I'm speaking or free diving. It's also a way of free diving. Now, what is at the bottom of the ocean, metaphorically, when you get down there? And I think that's a very good question. Because I've risked my life and my brain and my very psyche by not breathing so that I can descend to depths where no person is intended to go and see things that really no creature is intended to see. And that is the ocean floor itself. And you get down there and you go, oh, wow, this is boring. There's nothing here. I mean, it's interesting in its emptiness. But then you start back up and you go, what have I done? I've risked a lot to go, oh, wow, I've discovered that there is emptiness at the end of this. Why did I even bother leaving? All that training and holding my breath and everything. And then maybe you make it back up to the surface. Maybe you don't. So what are you saying? Is there a message in it? I'm saying, I'm just going to take you as far as the coral reef. Let's just stay here. It's pleasant. So I want you to go places in your mind. Now, hopefully you've had all your mind shots. We're going to be doing some traveling, and hopefully you have some kind of equivalent of a fanny pack, something that you can strap on to your prefrontal cortex in which you can put a lot of the things you need. I don't know what you need, lip balm or whatever. We're going to be traveling. You think what happens when you've traveled before. What do you need? Stuff to rub on your legs? Or I need 2 pairs of socks because my feet chill. All right, bring those. Bring those in your mind. Because if you can't conceive of them, you can't put them on your imaginary feet. And we know this from science. I'm sure there is a science of imaginary feet. I know there is. It's probably in the English department, but it's still there. It still exists. There are creative minds throughout science, and there are science minds throughout creative. And restaurants are now called concepts. One more deep breath. We're going to spit out any gum we have. You shouldn't have it anyway if you have any kind of dental things. If you have any kind of dental work, you shouldn't have gum anyway. I don't know if it's particularly good for you. Give you TMJ or something. Chewing all the time for no reason. You're chewing all the time, but you're not eating food. You've seen the distended jaws of our ancestors that were chewing upon grain or leather in order to make it supple. And what happened to them? And you want to go and do that? Say, but I'm on. But it's minty. It's minty. You will say, mm-mm. Is that a good enough reason? When I was living in France briefly and playing in an experimental electronic band, a fellow wandered in a green tracksuit. I'll never forget this. And his name was Abdul. And Abdul had stuffed into one nostril mint leaves, lots of them, stuffed up into his nostril. I spoke very little French. Abdullah spoke no English. And we had mutual friends, and they were all speaking to each other. And I imagine they were saying, Abdul, what's up with the mint shoved up your nose? And he did have an explanation. And when I asked my English-speaking friend to translate, they said, he said something about mystical something or other. And I went, wow, that's cool. Wow, there's mystical reasons that there's a lot of mint shoved up one nose. But don't we do that? Don't we all shove mint up one nose thinking, not only will this perhaps unclog my congestion, but it will also mystically enhance me. It will make me complete. In the same way I heal my body, I can heal my soul. You're a little loud now. We're trying to meditate. Oh, I'm sorry. Here's the problem. In my meditation class, I yell sometimes, and there's one next door at the same time. It's that quiet meditation. It's that quiet one. They all are almost silent. And sometimes I'll just walk by and I'll go, with my chimey ball. I go, y'all doing good in there? Because for me, it's like a spin class. And when I look at them just sitting there, I don't see any exertion. How are you growing? When someone's growing, you can hear them growing because you can. If you've ever been around children, you can walk by their bedrooms at night. If there's. And they're growing, they're in there growing. That's their joints stretching. And you can. The next day, they're. I am here. I am ready for breakfast. Yeah, that's amazing. You know, just the other day, you were just an experiment in my lab. Where I said, I'm going to spit into this petri dish, and then I'm going to introduce electricity or some other mystical energy. And a puppet. There was a puppet involved, and I took straight from Pinocchio. I'm not even going to lie to you. And then they grow up, and then you end up singing that sad song from Fiddler on the Roof. I sing it a little. I sing it in a higher pitch because I want to do the whole thing. I just had this idea to do Fiddler on the Roof like Mark Bolan. I'm going to work on it. I probably only get his, the Frumacera one, Nightmare. I know that one will come out good. So I'm going to work on that right now. So I'm going to leave you for a minute. When I was young, I took bass lessons. I wanted to play bass guitar badly. I wanted to be, I guess, in a band or something, but not lead it. Although I was thinking, oh, then Lizzie. And I was taking bass lessons. I would go to the music store, and they had these little practice rooms. You'd go in the closet with an elderly gentleman who smelled like brandy, and he would show you a couple notes or something like that. And my fella would show you a couple notes. He'd tell you, I invented the bass. And then he would leave the room and say, play G. And he'd sit in there and go, dun, 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 dun. And he didn't come back for the longest time. And I would obediently play G over and over again. I think, well, I'm being a better bassist. There. And then eventually he just stopped. He'd go, what's the point? There's no one here. I don't even know if I'm playing it right at this point. Here, I moved it up a fret and nobody notices. Nobody notices. So if I leave the room while you're meditating, and you start playing G wrong, no one's going to be there to come and hit you with a ruler. I wouldn't hit you with an ordinary ruler. It would be metric. I'm not barbaric. Oh, my friends, are you feeling it? Are you feeling the good vibrations of relaxing together and having guided relaxation and meditation tape? I'm taking a while. I haven't officially started because I know right now what you're struggling with is finding a tape player. You say, I've got this cassette and I want to play it badly. So what's on the other side of this MGMT cassette? I don't know. It can't be played because I don't have a cassette player. So I'm going to give you a minute because now you say, oh, I can, is there some kind of app I can download and then hold my phone next to the cassette tape? And it would just start playing or something? Or can I put it, shove it into an ordinary VHS machine? Let's do that. Let's try that. I know it's not going to work, but I want you to try it. Oh, you're not going to do that. You don't need that. We have transcended tape. I can now speak to you without any sort of interference, just one brain to the next. We never thought we'd live in that age where we could transfer thoughts one of us to the other like that. I've been on public transport, so I knew it could be done because I thought you could be in there. No one's talking, and you think, and yet I'm hearing screams in my head. Where's that coming from? I go, oh, those are the silent voices of the others. And in this meditation class, you'll hear that. If you listen very carefully, all of us sitting around, you'll hear the same thing in the background, very, very quietly. I wonder if I could get my money back. I wonder if I could get a refund. No, because you didn't pay anything. If you pay nothing, there's no refund to get. You go, I wasted my time. Wasn't your time. You own time? What are you, Claire Booth Luce? Nobody owns time. Time's for everyone to own. I can't waste your time. It's not your time. Say, I have a finite amount of years on Earth. How many? Blah, 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 blah. You don't know, or that's the counting system in your culture? Because if you can't tell me, then I can't compensate you. You might live to be you might be the first person never to die. In fact, I recognize you. I don't want to spoil it for you. Well, there's no spoiling it. It's a pleasant surprise. You just see. Wait till you outlive everybody you've ever loved. And you'll say, what a blessing. I don't know. I'm blessed to be with you. That you're still letting me guide your meditation. I can't believe it either, Hardy. I know. What have you done? It's like leaving your brain is like a child or a pet or something beloved, and to leave it with just anyone. It's like, well, the hotel provides a babysitter. Okay, that'll do. Bye. And, oh, my goodness. All right, I guess they're all right. I guess they're vetted. Who knows? Just a bit. We're not super into the baby or our brain or whatever, but that's the way we treat our brains sometimes. What are you talking about? Like we're on vacation. With our brain? Yeah. I mean, sometimes you can go on vacation with your brain. Yeah, I hear you. Go on. I'm not going to go on now. I feel like I'm being critiqued or something. You got to be, for what I'm saying to work, you have to already have decided to agree with me. A priori. You can't, after, oh, I'm going to decide whether to agree with you after I hear what you have to say. Well, that's, well, we'll ruin it. Don't do that. This is like church or a college class or something like that. This isn't politics. You decide that you already agree with me before I say anything. And that's not absurd. I think that's okay. Because of it's the knowing the difference between somebody who knows what they're talking about. So I do actually assume that my smithy, all right, we have a village smithy, who stands under a now extinct spreading chestnut tree. And I'll occasionally go there and say, hey, you know, how's a piece of iron bent or something like that? And he'll go, I'll show you. But I trust him, right? I don't go, oh, that's not true. He's a smithy. I'm not a smithy. Are you a smithy? Are you a farrier? Are you an iron roller? I don't know what they're all called. I don't know what your profession is called. You're yelling it out now. You go, I'm a cooper. Good for you. They're all strangely surnames, too. I didn't intend that. I'm a joiner. Me too. Oh, you make caskets. Yeah, I know. Yeah. There's no surname follower, is there?
I'm a bit of a follower.
Oh, you're son of follower. You're McFollower, because you're many generations of those people. All right, now, I'm doing something very unconventional in meditation. I've crossed my legs. In the manner they say, don't do it, because you're cutting off circulation to your groin and the back of your knee or whatever. I know, but it's just habit. I like doing it. Sometimes I cross my, it's bad luck too. In meditation they say, don't cross your legs or your, but then they tell you to sit cross-legged. Or your fingers, don't interlock them or something. You go, why? And they go, well, you'll accidentally mess up your channel flow. Or the energies that go through you will get all confused. You'll get them in a knot. And you go, well, if they're in a knot and they're busy getting out of that, then they won't bother me the way they've been bothering me. Maybe that's good. Maybe let's hold them up. Let's all get all our energies and all channels and all confused so they'll stop bugging us. Because mine are, I would wish they were preoccupied. I don't think it's disrespectful. It's just like showing your parents a way to have fun in town without you. So I'm glad you're visiting, but I think, wouldn't you have some fun if you went out on your own?
Yes, but we really want to hang out with you and the kids.
But here, we've booked you into a spa on the other side of town. I think you're going to have a lot of fun there. Just go. Just have fun.
Hardy, that's a part of Tokyo Story.
I know it is. I know. I didn't say I invented it. I didn't say it was my story. That's not what kind of meditation this is. So I don't feel very relaxed. If you can't relax when somebody is screaming non sequiturs at you, then your meditation technique isn't very good. So I can't fight when somebody's really throwing punches at me. Then what a useless fighting style you have. If you can't meditate when the judge is yelling orders at you, then that might be good, but your meditation style, I don't know how much I respect it. So I like people who can, this is different than meditation, and it's not even a disorder. I don't have any neurological disorder, but I can go to sleep anywhere. It doesn't overtake me. Like I said, it's voluntary. But I can get too inappropriately relaxed in any, just about any setting. So how is that? A long time ago, I lost my dignity. And I'm not exactly sure how it happened, whether it was, I think it was stripped away, slowly eroded by some sort of road salts. That could happen over time. I lost my dignity. I lost a bit of my inhibition because of that, because you start, once your dignity is gone, it's like a couple, it's like an elderly couple. They go, oh, now the dignity's gone. What's the point? Why even get out? I'm going to leave my bathroom on, robe on all day long. Oh, inhibition, you look like heck. Have some pride in yourself. Have some self, have some shame. I don't want any shame because dignity's gone. I hear you. I hear you. How you doing? Do you need some aroma? I can't say it because I once heard it wrong. When someone first said that to me, I was like, aromatherapy or rondi? Aroma, what are you saying? You're not saying aroma. And they go, yeah, we are saying aroma, aromatherapy. And I thought, aroma, not aroma like smells. And they go, no. And I go, oh, you're kidding me. And they go, yes, you can have certain smells are therapeutic. And I said, like what? I go, like what? There's certain smells I don't like, I said. And they said, like what? And I said, well, poo. I don't like it. I know some people like it, but for me, it's repulsive. And they go, no, it's universally like that. And I go, well, whatever. What are you thinking? And they go, well, maybe lavender or something. I go, I'm mixed on that. It smells like bathroom. That's the name. That's how we get it. Lavatory, lavender. Do you see the connection? And they say, look, you know, I'm not going to talk to you about something. I care about aromatherapy, and you're mocking it. I'm not. I just misheard it. That's all. And I realize that there are certain smells that can take us certain places. They can't pick us up at the airport. You can't say, you know what? I'm going to call Cinnamon Toast and have them waft by and get me at the airport. It doesn't happen that way. And yet, they're so evocative. If radio had smell. It can in a way. I can direct you to go get something and then smell it. Like right now, I want you to go get
some silly putty. You probably have some in a drawer in that little egg. And go get it, and I want you to smell the silly putty. Are you doing it? Yes, it was right at hand. And now take the silly putty, and I want you to make a fake nose so that you look, it's a long nose so that you look like the child catcher in Chitty Bang Bang, or maybe Lucille Ball right before she lit her nose on fire. Yes, now what? I don't know, you're just having fun, aren't you? Yes, I feel playful. Me too. That's my kind of meditation. I like people call moving their bowels meditation. I'm going to go in the restroom and meditate. Good for you. I'm with you there. You're going to use that Zafu with a hole in it. For a while, there was a trend where they would pad toilet seats. This was a bad trend. I'm not exactly sure why. They could be clean. Naugahyde can be clean just as well as fanny plastic or whatever the mystical material that toilet seats are made out of. I don't know. There's some wooden ones, too, if you're all sorts of metals, I suppose, except for lead. No one wants the lead ones or mercury. No one wants a mercury toilet seat. And I guess there's tons of, I could go through the whole periodic table and say, good toilet seat, bad toilet seat. Hydrogen toilet seat? That's nonsensical. But I mean, some of the ones, the metallic ones. Neon toilet seat is a band. So much of what we say is really related to our imaginations. Things that don't exist. If we just restricted our language to that which exists, we would simply talk about that which exists and that which doesn't exist. And yet, we speak about things that do not exist, dragging them into existence. Therefore, we only speak about things that exist. That's meta. You think that's meta? And the universe is unfolded like that. And the top of my head blew off. And then I was a panther. And then I was a piece of carpeting. And then I was you sitting there looking at me thinking, why did I even take this guided meditation class? Docent, we haven't gone anywhere. We have. We've traveled far since we've been here. Look, look around. You have moved in time and space. How can it be? I know, you weren't paying attention. You have been hypnotized. And at one point you were dancing like a chicken. And I know that's trite. I couldn't think of anything else. I'm sorry. I got you to quit smoking. I never smoked. All right. Well, it doesn't hurt then. A little extra. I might have gotten you hooked on the nicotine patch then. But I apologize for that. I wasn't sure what to do. So here's the key to my brain, Hardy. And there's a couple things you could do. You could do like those TV shows where they come into your house and they go, we're going to redecorate everything. That's a little cheeky. I'm not sure I should do that. I'm going to rearrange your memories. I'm going to blow your mind. People used to volunteer to do that in their art. Come to my cinema or my music. It's going to blow your mind. Well, listen, I don't know about you. I'm not a rich man mentally. And so I don't know if I can afford to have my mind blown. You see what I'm saying? You all can like go out, I'll just go get a new one. Not me, brother. I need to keep mine intact a little bit. So I don't think, I don't think fancy things. Because I don't want my mind blown necessarily. So what about philosophy? I know how to say philosophy. I don't know why it came out wrong. It's you because you pretend to be stupid long enough and you become stupid. That's the thing. You downplay your intelligence enough and you go, well, I'm not downplaying. I thought I was being modest. I'm not being modest. I'm not being modest enough. I thought I was. I used to think I was humble. And it turns out I'm arrogant. Isn't that funny? That's how off I was. I go, well, I'm actually downplaying how smart I am. No, I'm not. I was exaggerating it. I just didn't realize it because of my own stupidity. Well, how did you I became self-aware, which you don't want. You think you want it, and you go to a lot of classes, you go, okay, now you're self-aware. Ah, no, that's not what you want. No, you don't want self-awareness so much as you want to, I would like to be a sort of character. All right, I can write you into history as a sort of character. We'll write your beginning, your middle, and end. We will create your story, and it will have some relation to reality, but it will not be a reflection of it because that would be devastating. Oh, no, we will make something beautiful. When I paint your portrait, I will see your inner beauty. I will not emphasize the ugly characteristics of your physiognomy. Oh, no, I'm not a character. Caricaturist, this is not the county fair. I am not going to make you look like you have big ears and enjoy bowling. No, no, I'm going to make you look like you're beautiful because you are inside. That's what I see is the real you. Look at you, limited and vulnerable and fragile. How do you know? We all are we not? We have various shells or crates or things on us. Each one of us is a middle school science project. There's a little egg in the middle, and we're told, protect the egg, we're going to drop them all. So some of us will wrap it with foam. This is poetry. Some of us will attach cardboard spikes to it. This is business success. No, I don't know, but you know what I'm saying. And then we shield ourselves and that little egg inside. So now I want you to approach the egg. Gently, gently approach the egg. Picture yourself approaching the egg. You're walking. How big is the egg? Oh, wait. Will that be helpful? Yes. If I make it like an 8-foot egg, you're going to think a door's going to open up and a princess is going to walk out or something. Yeah. If I make it shorter than that, you might think some kind of little creature is going to catch out of it. Yeah. If I make it giant, you're going to think some sort of creature is going to hatch out of it. Yeah. I'm going to make it like 5'5" or something. So a princess could walk out of it and she might be shorter, might be a short prince or not even royalty. All right. Approach the egg. I'm approaching it. Now I want you to touch it gently. It's a lot more sturdy than you give it credit for. I just broke mine. What? I think I broke mine. It cracked. No. No, that's your soul. No, I think Harley, you broke it. I didn't break it. You broke it. Why did you? You must have hit it. I didn't hit it. I just touched it gently. No. Oh, no. The crack's getting bigger. Don't let it get bigger. Oh, no. What have I done? I'm not qualified. Look, y'all, I'm sorry. I'm not any kind of meditation teacher. I'm not kind of religious expert. I'm so sorry. This person has cracked the eggshell of their soul. And I did that because I wanted them to visualize it. It's leaking. Just a second. I'm speaking to the class. You think, oh, I'm the center of things because I just cracked my egg soul. But others would like to know and learn from this. You want them to do the same thing? Just because your existential yoke is now oozing out or something? All right. Selfish. Let's return. Why don't you walk down to the nurse's office? All right. I think you're going to be fine. All right. And tell her you came from Mr. Jeremy's class. But just tell her you came from Mr. Jeremy's class and that you broke. Tell her what happened. All right. And it'll be fine. You're going to be fine. I feel bad. A little part of me feels bad for that. And another part of me is like, well, you know, that's his experience. I can't get inside each one of your heads and wrap your egg. You got to wrap it somehow. It's going to be dropped. Let's just not beat around the bushes. All right. Don't do that anyway. I think once a year you can do that. Walk around the house beating pots and pans or something. But I think that's more of a New Year's stuff. Normally don't beat around the bushes. Maybe you're looking for something. I don't know what the expression means. I thought it meant get to the point. Like don't, you know, if you're going to if you set out to beat the bush, don't beat around it. But then you might disrupt something. Might be a bird in there. That's silly violent. And when I see someone taking a stick to a rhododendron or hitting something like that, hitting a pittosporin, I say, don't. That's wrong. it's wrong, and there could be something in there, like a Katie did. We're going to, in the course of our meditation, accidentally learn some kung fu, because I'm one of, this is one of my things that I'm interested in, and have been for a long time, and that is trying to surreptitiously teach people kung fu by getting them to meditate and then reciting some nonsense poetry. And often they will come out of the experience and think, I have these rudimentary skills where I at least know to keep my arms up. Ah, and their footwork is much better. Footwork is important. If you can stay out of range, you can stay out of range. So we'll be doing a little of that. So if you leave here and you think, I feel a little more confident. I got a little more sense of my arms, or a little more part of the upper part of my body consciousness. All right. And that's what you're going to leave here with. And that's no small thing. So get those arms up there. Protect that head. All right. And how's that part of meditation? I don't know. I'm going to be thinking about it during free think time, because there will be a little... Oh, I know there's some of you thinking, if I could doodle! I know, but everything, all the work has to be done in your head, because we have to show our work. And if we'd write it down in something, you're liable to forget. If you write it down in a journal. So to show your work actually means to have done it in your head. And that's a better way of showing it, is by becoming the work itself. When I was in school, I was asked to leave. And they said, please leave. What's the point? I go, come on, let me just try again. And yet I'd just be bored instantly. I don't know what I thought was supposed to happen. I don't blame anybody. Other people seemed to be doing fine and seemed engaged. But I thought, man, have any of you watched TV? Because their ability, I don't know what, they've figured it all out. They can keep your attention in a crazy way. I watch one of these TV shows that's teaching me something, and I remember it all. And I come here, and Mr. Flambers goes on and on about algebra and everything, and it's just in one ear and out the other. And the only thing I remember to this day is his tie and his shirt. Now, they didn't match, and his tie was really wide, and it was fascinating to me, and I thought he looked great. But that's all I remember. I don't remember any of the math. But see, the visual stuff stuck with me. And if they had used a little of that TV, and I said that out loud, and somebody from Sesame Street heard me, and they heard me, it had been on a long time by then, so they heard me, they'd already heard me, I guess, years before that. And so we're going to teach children using what we know about psychology and entertainment and everything. Are they different? And we're going to manipulate the children visually and aurally and get inside their heads. And to this day, they're in your head. To this day, that, you know, if you've watched anything that was designed to get inside your head, it's in there. Oh, it's in there. Believe me. You have a mail slot in the front of your house. And anything that will fit can be shoved through the mail slot. And you say, well, the big bad stuff's not going to get in. But do you know what you can get through a mail slot? That's right. A CD. And you can take that CD over to the computer or the TV or something, put that in, and you've got an entire world that has come in through a mail slot. Oh, I'm telling you that the story of your life and everything we know about ourselves has been written by others, and we plugged ourselves in. That's why you sometimes had dreams that you were in sitcoms when you were a child, because you've made that reality yours, and that's the way it was intended to be, because then you've confused yourself with the others. And I have made a civilization of caricatures, and I can speak to each one of you like you're each one of the Bradys, and you'll obediently act that way and in character for me. Therefore, I have the key to your entire psyche, because I created it. Oh, long ago, you decided which one of the Scooby team you are. Gang? I'm hesitant to call them a gang. They're not. It's a fandom. Are you the one I can't remember any of them. Are you Fred? Are you Velma? Are you Shaggy? You chose one of them. All right. And then that you decided to be that. So then all I have to do is like say, Johan, come with me. And you do. And you do.
Now, how do I get out of that, Hardy? How do I pick a character that will not be manipulated?
I would either make one up or pick one of the rejected ones. That's what I try to do. I'd say, I'm going to model myself after a character that's been rejected. That is not part. Nobody wants it because it doesn't buy the right car or anything. Be that. Be the one that can't be predicted. That's the problem. If you say, wow, I'm so predictable. Well, maybe you should make yourself more unpredictable or less predictable. And how do I do that? Well, don't be a type of anything. Don't be consistent. Be inconsistent. Be something else. Be a bunch of different people at once. Reject things that you once accepted and accept things you once rejected within, I'd say, seconds, maybe, or something. That's what I do. And then are you your own master? Oh, no! I never was. I never said you could be. The universe is my only master, and it does a terrible job because it doesn't know I exist, really. It. I didn't say he. It sounded like I said he. I said it. Doesn't know I exist. Doesn't interfere when it should. I got hired to do a job, and then no one's ever told me what to do. Hello? I come to this empty lobby every evening. There's no activity. The lights are dim. I stand here hour after hour asking, what should I do? Hello? I assumed I had a boss. I assumed I had a directive. I assumed that there were rules that I was to obey at work and that constituted my job. And yet, I keep showing up and there's nothing here. And there seems to be nothing to do. Oh, universe, guide me. And that's when I saw it, a little pamphlet. It fell on the floor. It floated down like a leaf. I don't know from where it fell. I almost dangled from position. But it fell on the floor, and I picked it up, and it said, make guided meditation tapes for a living. Sell them out of the back of your ham. Or trunk. Maybe it said trunk. All right. So I took it home and I bought a recording studio. And that recording studio costs, I remember to this day how much I paid, $125,000. And I decided, okay, I'm going to make these little cassettes with meditation on them. I don't know if they'll catch on. Who's going to listen to them anyway? Who's going to sit there cross-legged, put the cassette on, try to breathe. Did I say breathe out? I might have forgotten. But breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Simon says breathe out. Breathe in. Got you. Breathe out. Simon says, put something in one of your nostrils. Not anything you're going to lose, like a dime. But, I don't know, leaves or something. Now what? I don't know. Friend, do you feel comfortable? Should we do a tea ceremony? Would that be nice? I don't want any tea. All right. That defeats the purpose. That's a problem. You say, would you like a salad? Yeah, I like salad. I don't want anything on it. That's not a salad. Then say no. I don't want a salad. But when I think when the instructions undo, what you're ordering. I like you a pizza, but minus everything. It's not a pizza anymore. So you say, how is this meditation? If I've taken away everything that is meditation, perhaps it isn't meditation anymore. Perhaps it's just sitting and thinking. Or not thinking. Isn't that what you wanted? Didn't you want an escape? So I wanted a little somewhere to go. I needed to get away. I needed to be taken into the woods and turned around a couple times with only breadcrumbs or pebbles that are too small to see as my path. I like to be confused. I want to be disoriented. I want to see if I can relax in this cacophony of endless cacophonic cacophony sounds that won't stop, that are loud and atonal. You're just repeating yourself. We're all repeating ourselves constantly. Get up, you go do the same job. Why didn't it stay done? What kind of line of work are you in? You know, what are you doing exactly? Baking bread? Why isn't the work staying done? No, there's always more work to do because you're making up more work to do. You have a job. Y'all go there. You get it done. You'll probably be done in a week. But then you go, oh, we need to find more work. This is not baking bread. See, baking bread, if somebody eats it, and you got to make it the next day. But most things that we choose to do, we got to make up some reason for it. Constantly makes you crazy.
Well, we better find something else to sell.
Ugh. I'll tell you, if I ran the world, it'd be very difficult because I don't believe in running or worlds or anything. So I think I would, that rules me out. But if I could have any place in your heart, I'd want it to be, there's a larger apartment, all right? It has a carport and it's bigger than the others. And I just need a little extra room because I do crafts. So if I could have that one, that'd be lovely. I don't mind other people being in your heart, and I expect there to be other people in your heart, but I would like to be one of them. Can I be? Can we have that kind of relationship where I'm the person on the radio and you listen to my voice and you say, oh, Hardy, I'm going to let you in. Do. Go ahead. I swear I won't abuse the privilege. How would you abuse the privilege? Come to stay with you all the time or something? I won't do that. I don't travel much. I'm not going to sell you. I literally have nothing to sell. Would I sell it to you if I did? Maybe. I'm the kind of person, I do have something to sell periodically. Like right now, I have a futon. I'd love to get rid of the futon, but that's about it. After I'm done there, I don't think that can be a profession. I never think I should order some more futons so I'll have more to sell. So I don't know, but take the chance. Listen to me. Pay attention to what I'm saying. And then buy my futon. No, I'm not going to do that. I won't do that. But could you not be my friend? Could we not develop a pact as fellow human beings, as fellow creatures upon this earth? All right. We can help each other out as long as we're not both, you know, cannibalistic carnivores would be rough. I don't know. I'd say, well, I want to be friends, but I think you're going to eat me. Likewise, my friend. So I don't think, as long as we're not going to see each other as food, I don't see why we couldn't cooperate. Be friends. Make the world a little better. Some of it is going to be harsh. Oh, there's something we can do, some things we can do nothing about. But there are other things that we can do something about. Like, I look at you all out there on your tuffets, some of you in Morris chairs. And I look into your eyes now, the ones that your eyes are open. Some of you are not. That's beautiful, too. If you've managed to fall asleep, that's lovely. I'll let you fall. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I want you to raise your right hand, silver sleeve. I want you to raise your right hand, and I want you to stand on your left foot, silver sleeve. I want you to now touch goblet. I want you to now touch your right ear, goblet, silver sleeve. Do you feel any different? I might have tried to hypnotize you. I don't think it worked. Did it work? Did you do anything? You should have only, at the most, you should have danced like a chicken. All right. Chickens don't dance, do they? They've got nothing to celebrate. If they get their food, they go and eat their food. They think, why would I make a big deal about getting the food? The way I show thankfulness in the universe is to consume it. So if you ever give me anything, I'm going to immediately just eat it, whether it's food or not, because I want to bring the energy into myself. That's why it's difficult when you send me things electronically. So when what I really need are donuts or small pieces of paper, something I can eat. How was the meditation? We're not done yet. This is the cool down. Oh, I'm stiff. Can you? Oh, is it my low? I was hunched. Were you all hunched down a little bit? I was. I know a lot of you had just given in and fallen over and are laying on your side. And you're the first one of you did it, yelled, "Reclining Buddha." And we all laughed. And so you were allowed to do it. The rest of you just being lazy. If you're going to do something lazy, try to do it in a clever way. There's clever lazy and there's real lazy. But I'm glad that you're doing better. Now, are you doing better than you were? No. All right. Well, that's what I was shooting for. I mean, I don't have to get it. It's not about me. It's about us. You and I and all of us. All together here. Meditating. Trying to figure out what's going on. And you're going to have a lot of people that tell you on a daily basis what's going on, like they know. And some of them don't even care about you. Many don't care about you. Do you care about me, Harvey? In theory, I do desperately, yes, in theory. So probably if I met you, I would, because I'm predisposed to, because I've decided that I should. And that's the first step, is understanding that other people are experiencing, you know, pain and suffering, and they feel the way we do, and to open your heart. And say, yeah, man, other human beings probably feel the way I do. I'm not superior. This idea that you're better than others, it's infected. It's always infecting people. And so I want to form a little club on the radio where we can fight that together. And we can all sit around and do stuff like meditate and have fun, go on. We've gone so many things. There was the listener cruise. Y'all had a great time on that. We had so much fun. We went on a cruise. It's not real because I don't like the real ones. But and a bunch of listeners came and we would have events. So, for instance, you'd get up in the morning. You'd go down to the breakfast, which is a buffet. And then you go to my first talk, which starts at, 9 or something. And then that goes to 9 to, I get done talking at 3. And then we break, and we have, by that time, people are super hungry. There's another buffet during which I'll talk. I'll go up to the part where the pool is and speak to all the people. It's just me continually speaking, and you're eating, and we're on a boat, but it's not real. And I love it. It's a great way to be in contact with y'all and to have a sense of community and to not have to leave our apartments, which is really the biggest blessing. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, New York, and also Rockland County, where there's magical miracles. And online, worldwide, WFMU.org. Thank you very much for joining me, my friends. And I hope it was a relaxing visit and that you feel more inspired now that you're... Okay, wake up. And when I snap my fingers, you will be wide awake again. And you will be able to go out into the world refreshed and energized. Your spirit renewed. And a lot of the old stuff, we just reformatted the memory card is all we've done. Get that junk off of there. That's all. Start fresh. A tabula rasa. New eyes. Oh, my friends, thank you for joining me this week, and I will see you again next week.